I'm very happy now to welcome to the Radio Cafe Emigdio Bayón. He is co-founder of Four Bridges Traveling Permaculture Institute. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Oh, thank you. Good morning. It's a pleasure to be and interact with you in this moment.
It's a pleasure to have you here. And there's a lot going on. Four Bridges Traveling Permaculture Institute, which we'll talk about, the 9th Annual Traditional Agriculture and Sustainable Living Conference, which is coming up this weekend. And then tonight, Los Masis, which is an Andean group whose music we will hear at the end of this program, is playing. And that's a really wonderful event coming up at the Lenzic, and tickets are still available for that. But let's talk a little bit about what permaculture is, what sustainable living is, in the context of the conference. I mean, we are living in a world which is dominated, especially in the United States, our food system by corporate agriculture and all kinds of foods which are grown very far away and things like that. You are kind of holding up an alternative to that.
But actually, you know, when we're talking about the Four Bridges Traveling Permaculture Institute, I would say we are co-partners with Tezuque Pueblo and other organizations. We're making this event happen. You know, we have Northern Pueblos, we have also the NAFA, and then, you know, it's a lot of effort, I would say, to you organize this type of events. But anyway, when you say, what is the alternative is, you know, bring to our people back again to fund and growing his own food. Because, you know, it's very easy to have, I will say, money and buy food, but sometimes you don't know the quality of the food you are eating. You know, that's very important to beginning to know and be cautious about the situation.
So you are from Bolivia, and you have specialized in foods of the Andes, high altitude foods. What are some examples of those kinds of foods?
But actually, you know, we say this is new foods in this country. But my people, actually, they cultivate these crops for thousands of years. When we're talking about these old crops, we can talk about quinoa. It's one of the very popular grains over here in the U.S. Probably it's very close to 5,000 years old, this grain. You know, we call in my Indian language the area of the father sun. Means it's the tears or ears or the tears of the father sun, anyway, you know.
The tears of father sun?
Yes.
Is the quinoa?
The quinoa.
Wow.
Because we call, for example, it's the golden grain,
yeah,
for the indigenous people in my country. You know, 1984-85 was the first time when I began to making the research over here in the United States. I was invited for Colorado State University to come in and be part of the research over here with Dr. Dwayne Johnson when I was doing my PhD studies. Anyway, you know, since this time, in talking 30 years back, I would say nobody knows about quinoa. But now quinoa is coming to be very popular and very famous grain. Okay, why? Because the nutritional properties, medicinal properties, it's one of the grains where I can mention. Another product where I can mention to you, it's maca. Maca coming also from the Andes. It's very, I would say to you, it's very old tuber, using for the Incas. They have so many medicinal properties and nutritional properties in the meantime, you know. Other grain, it's cañagua. Okay, it's another small grain. It's the same family of the quinoa. But they have so much nutritious value. Amaranth, it was very famous in my language, or Indian language, we call hangaroche, okay, or sangaroche, okay. But anyway, the Azteca people, they're using a lot. It was the main stable food for them. But the people, or the Inca people in the Andes also, they're using a lot of the amaranth. Plus, the indigenous people here in the United States, Hopi people, it was using also the amaranth. It was very, you know, indigenous people, they have already this knowledge about this different type of the grains, you know. Other tuber, I would say, potatoes, actually coming from South America. It's very, very big variety of the diversity of the tubers. Also, oca, oxalis, mashua, you know, it's so many. We can talk, I would say, for hours and hours about this type of the crops. But I will end in with this type of the information to you, how important it was these grains and these tubers for the humanity. Now we can say indigenous people, they are now provide the gold, silver, or the oil to the humanity. The most important thing it will be the food, you know, because that's, I would say, that's one of the highest gifts from the creator to the indigenous, and the indigenous to the people, or the European people.
So this, all these different kinds of food, to what extent are they still eaten in the Andes?
Yes. You know, it's very, you know, sometimes you're thinking it's very, I would say it's parodic situation, because in the 80s, 90s, the quinoa was called Indian food. But now, for example, you can find quinoa in my country.
You can't find?
You can find quinoa in my country. Last year I was...
Because it's all exported?
Everything coming out, you know, because we have this mentality. We have to create income or money to our countries. And we don't have, for example, precious how much damage we're making our own people in this type of the politics, you know. I will say myself, it's very important to think in first in your people, and then this is they can go out. So that's the opposite situation.
Right. Okay? So there's still a lot of quinoa being grown in Bolivia and Peru, but the Bolivians and Peruvians aren't eating it.
I don't think so. We're eating pasta, actually rice. Crops, they are not, I would say, they are not our grains. Okay.
They're not the indigenous grains of that area, and they're also not, I mean, the thing about quinoa is it's a very interesting, healthy grain. I've started eating it. It's full of protein and all kinds of things.
Oh, if we're talking about the nutritional value of the quinoa, we can extend for hours, you know.
Yeah.
It's very good grain because they have very good balance of the amino acids, minerals. I will say they have very good percentage of the minerals. In the meantime, they have not only nutritional value, also they have medicinal properties. Okay, and that's another factor how the indigenous people in South America, they know all these qualities of this grain.
You are connected with Pueblo people here in New Mexico and with indigenous people in Bolivia. Do you guys connect with each other? Is there a kind of inter-indigenous communication?
But actually, you know, they're talking about this prophecy, you know, of the eagle from the north and the condor from the south.
Right.
Okay? When we look in the indigenous people in North America, and we look in the indigenous people in South America, I would say we have almost the same ways of the belief. We believe in Mother Earth, we believe in the spirit of the water, in the spirit of the Mother Nature, because we working in relation with these elements, or these humans, we can say. You know, in the indigenous way, we can making this parallelism of the consideration about the Mother Nature. Everyone, it's a human. It's not only us. Also the animals, the water. However, they are not talking to you. They have a spirit. And we're talking with the spirit to use in the way they have to be used.
And so when you connect with Pueblo people, you understand things in very similar ways, even though you have different languages.
Definitely. I speak in my Indian language, you know, when I working in Tezuque, when I beginning this conversation, it's Tezuque was part of the organized this conference, okay, and Fort Bridge in the other side. But anyway, you know, when we coming to do this type of the things, the Pueblo people, they put all his, you know, his prey, energy, support, all these type of the things, because we spend tons of the time, tons of the money, you know, to give to the Pueblo, not only the Pueblo, I will say also outside of the Pueblo, okay, to people in the cities, they can come in to be part of this type of the things what we're doing, okay, because we don't know, for example, what's going to be the situation with this new kind of the things they coming in these times. You know, it's a lot of machines, technology, genetic engineering foods, you know, many, many different type of the things. And this type of the events, actually, they are part of the education to the people.
Let's talk for a moment about the upcoming conference. It's happening this weekend. It's called the 9th Annual Traditional Agriculture and Sustainable Living Conference. And the amazing Percy Schmeiser is going to be there on Friday. He's the farmer from Canada whose crops were contaminated by genetically modified organisms, and he basically lost his livelihood and has been a real campaigner against genetically modified foods ever since then. What's the overall theme of the conference?
It's very easy and simple to remember. That's important. Because if you go back to 1960s or 70s, every scientist, I would say, they go in the level to give an answer for the hunger, because the human population is going over and over and over. And then we have a consideration to cover this demand of the food and basis of the genetic engineering or other type of the technology that can be used for this type of the things. When we're talking, for example, about permaculture, you know, we are in the concept to backing people to be sustainable. When we're talking about Percy Schmeiser, it's a few people. We can say, you know, back to the Bible situation when David and Goliath, okay? It was one little man like Percy Schmeiser fighting against this big corporation Monsanto, because Monsanto making to him guilty because he was stealing his own seeds. One of the things indigenous people, they are very, very aware about the situation. It is, you know, the seeds. And the food is the gift of the Creator. And we have to care these things in the way we care the Mother Earth. Percy Schmeiser actually was fighting against the Monsanto because they telling him he was stealing his canola genetic modified seeds from them. But anyway, the reality, it was not that. Monsanto contaminated all his work for 10, 20 years. He was purify his land and getting his own seeds.
Okay. Right. Yeah, I mean, it's a company that didn't want him to harvest his own seeds and store them and keep them.
That's right. You know, it's very simple. When you're looking, for example, technology, I was coming today, this morning, to here to talk to you. You know, you're stopping the traffic light. Okay. We coming to be like, robots. Okay,
robot.
Because you follow all the directions of the system. Okay, you are not able to thinking in the way, I would say, maybe 20 years back, 30 years back, 50 years back. You know, we coming to be very dependable in every single direction. Now you cannot live if you don't have cell phone. You cannot live if you don't have a car. Okay, that's the way we're going. And then that's important to say, we have to begin to stop things. I am not going to say we have to stop to using. We have to use, but we don't have to abuse. Okay.
Right, and we can use them thoughtfully and carefully and only as needed.
That's correct.
Now, one of the things that I find very interesting is, I mean, you talk about indigenous knowledge going back thousands of years, where people in what is now Bolivia and Peru understood very well what they were doing and the nutritional and the medicinal values of their foods and grew it very carefully. How is that way of doing agriculture similar to and different from the kind of scientific studies that you do? I mean, you're a PhD plant geneticist. How is indigenous science like or unlike modern day science?
You know, actually after years, of the work and the studies, you're beginning to learn things. And then, in the science level, we can say Mother you want to control Mother Nature action, okay? You can control the Mother Nature action or reaction, okay? Mother Nature acting and reacting the way she wants, okay? That's important. But in the science, you have specifically to say, this is the solution. Mother Nature, they say, this is not the solution. Why? Because science is separate completely the connection with the Mother Nature, okay? And that's the difference with the indigenous way, okay? In the indigenous way, we are still working in connection with the Mother Nature, okay? We're still looking the stars, the moon. It's crazy things to say, you know, after you making all these studies, getting your master's degree, your PhD, doing this type of the things, it's crazy things to mention this type of the things. But actually this is very, very basically for these people, because maybe we can say these guys or the indigenous people, they don't make in science. They're making science for many thousands of the years, these people. That's when I said to you, how these people, they know quinoa. We're making better quinoa in what level? Okay, still growing the quinoa of the ancient people, they grow in different areas, in the Andean areas, okay? Corn is the same thing, potatoes the same thing. Maybe we can make in some type of the modifications, regulations, etc., no? We found, for example, some type of the resistance to some type of the pests or insect damage or many other different type of the things. But here is the answer. All the indigenous people, they have biodiversity in the areas where they're working or they're planting crops. And that's actually the answer for this type of the problems we are presenting in these modern times. That's why we say permaculture, actually, this is one of the answers for this type of the situations.
Very interesting. And I think, I mean, the difference between trying to control and direct nature against her tendencies versus trying to work with nature according to her tendencies.
Right.
It shouldn't be such a huge difference. It doesn't have to be. And yet, the fact that we've tried so hard to push against nature, I think, mm-hmm. is one of the sources of our problems.
Right. Because you have examples, okay? You have buildings and buildings and buildings in many places. But one catastrophe, like an earthquake, floods, in one day, you have this technology down, okay?
Right.
Because it's missing something there, okay? We have all the mathematical calculations, we have all this type of the things, but something's missing there, okay? And this missing is to have this relation with the Mother Nature, okay? Probably you know what's going on in Ecuador, what's going on in Brazil, when they have this deforestation, looking for oil, the pollution of the rivers, the air, the water. You can save how many thousands of the years they take in the Mother Nature to build in this type of the things. And we destroy them one day. And that's very sad and we can go back again after you making this type of the things. Okay. That's what happened with this rainforest in Brazil, in Peru, in Ecuador, in Bolivia, you know, many all these places.
What would a sustainable food system look like?
This is very interesting situation. Each culture, they come in with his crops. If you see United States indigenous people, basically, what they eating? Corn, beans, squash, chili. You go to Mexico, indigenous people, basically, corn and beans. South America, corn, they eating beans, they eating squash, they eating chiles, potatoes. You know, they have his own already, I would say, each culture, they have his own cultural food.
Now, you didn't mention any meat in those.
Actually, we are not eating a lot of meat. Probably, you know, that's a very interesting thing. If you go, for example, to the Canada area, okay, Alaska, okay, these people, what was the main food? Was fish. But now you have this McDonald's corporations, all these type of things beginning to move all over, and the people beginning to forget his own ways of the food. That's why you have so many problems of the health problems, you know.
Yeah. On Saturday at this upcoming conference, Jeffrey Smith will be speaking from the Institute for Responsible Technology. Tell us about him and his work.
But actually, Jeffrey, it's for a long time involved in this type of the GMOs or genetic engineering foods, okay? He created his own organization. He was actually beginning to work in the generic documentary, generic resource food, okay? And this actually, in 2012, they get it, for example, in Solaris Report. They call Leaves was awarded in 2012. It was called the movie of the year, okay? And that's, you know, if you're watching this movie, you're beginning to thinking, where are we going? Okay, Jeffrey Mead actually was concentrating this type of the activities. He's traveling so many different places and specifically talking about how affecting your health these genetic engineering foods or seeds. Okay?
Very, very important.
No long time ago, last year in Argentina, happened one big movement of the women movement. The same happened the mothers of the Plaza de Mayo. In Cordoba, they kicked out Monsanto, one of the processing plants from Cordoba, out of this place.
They kicked them out?
They kicked out, okay. Peru is another country. They go and stop any GMOs in the country for 10 years until they are going to make research. It's the only one country in Latin American places they stop the GMOs, okay? To me, it's, you know, we need leaders like these people in Peru, because the movement, when I was there, Percy Schmeiser gave a talk also in one big conference in Peru. We are with Percy Schmeiser in Argentina in the meantime, okay? We tried to make in this type of the things in different places.
A moment ago when I was asking you what would a healthy sustainable food system look like, you talked about corn, squash, and beans. Most of us want to eat more than corn, squash, and beans. In other words, having a varied diet for reasons of not only health but of taste is something that we've become accustomed to.
But it's, you know, it's, I think maybe a few minutes back we're talking a little bit about this situation, how, you know, we coming to be dependable. Because when you go to this restaurant, you like specifically one type of the flavor. And then the chemical companies, they're beginning to prepare. That's interesting. They're beginning to prepare the different type of the flavors you like it.
Without the actual food.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that's if they want to have a smell of the meat. For example, McDonald's. In the beginning, was processing his French fry and basis of the greasy of the meat, okay, to give in this flavor to the French fry.
So the French fry was fried in the grease. Hamburger grease. Okay.
That's correct. You know, you can see, you know, when you look in the healthy diet is to eat where you can be able to grow, okay, because when you go to the store, that's actually our, I would say, our dependency. Our stress coming in basis you have to making money to pay all these type of the things you have to or you like it. You know, we talking a few minutes ago about this flavor, you like it. We don't know what type of the chemicals, what type of the artificial flavors, colors, etc., etc., they put in there. And we don't know if your body, they are going to have the ability to control and digest all this food you put inside.
Right.
Healthy diet, it will be the food you can prepare with your hands, okay?
Now, the majority of people in this country live in cities, so we don't really have the opportunity most of us to grow food. In other words, there's way more people than there is land to grow food for people who are living in a city.
Right, but it's, you know, it's places. Germany, it's moving in the direction to making food all over of the places. When we talking about the Cuban Revolution, for example, 1959, it was a country they depend from the first from United States, and they come independent from Russia. After Russia, they go down, they come to be independent. But independent in what way? Independent in the way they have to give the solution to the problems what they have. When I was in Cuba, I saw every single place, it was empty, kids from the school beginning to making gardens.
Yeah.
They don't have chemicals. They're beginning to making his own biological control for the insects or fungus problems they have in the fields. You know, these situations, they come in base of the needs. If you don't have needs, you are not going to have the answer for the problems what you have.
The Four Bridges Traveling Permaculture Institute is something that you founded, and there's a lot of other things going on there besides the upcoming conference. You are doing, sacred gardens, teaching gardens, teaching farms?
But actually the person he's directing more than me, only I giving some advice now because I'm a part of the Four Bridges 100%. It's, you know, they making some type of the sacred garden. They have kids from different schools. They come in to learn in there, and then they're making different type of the activities. In the meantime, I will mention to you the Suki Pueblo is moving in the same direction, the sustainability. We're using, for example, solar energy to heat in the ground in the hop houses where we have, and then we processing our own seeds. We processing our own food. You know, we have all this type of the mentality in the basis of the leadership of the Tezuki also. They mentioned and asking to go in this direction. Okay. It's concepts very important to have in consideration to making these things happen. Yeah. I will invite you or anybody that can come to see what we're doing also in the Pueblo in the meantime in the Four Bridges in Espanola area.
The Four Bridges is, by the way, on the web at fourbridges.org, and it's the number four, the digit fourbridges.org. Now, let's talk for a moment about Los Masis, who are playing at the Lenzic tonight, and we're going to hear some music in just a second, but this is very traditional Andean music.
That's correct, but before I can talk with Los Masis, I will mention also another very interesting lady is going to be part of the whole conference, Nina Simons. It's part of the Bioners.
Right.
Okay. She was one of the co-founders. Kenny actually was one of the co-founders of the Seed of Change, where I was part of this organization too. Okay. It's, her expertise and experience of this lady, it's phenomenal in the leadership of the women. Okay. It's another very good presentation or another good person they are going to be presenting our conference.
Excellent.
Okay. Yeah. But Los Masis, it will be very, very interesting for the people over here in this town. They can go and see part of this, I will say, this culture. Because these guys, they're making, you know, they have more than 50 years of the activity. In these 50 years of the activity in Sucre, Bolivia, that was the first school they found, bilingual school, in my country.
Spanish and Quechua?
Spanish and Quechua, yes. Also, they teaching kids from 7 years to 15 or 18 years old all the indigenous instruments. They have a school. They call Los Masis, Centro Cultural Los Masis. Okay? Not only that, they're making also pottery, they're making many other type of the things. Also, they cultivate the dance. You know, all these indigenous activities anyway. It will be, you know, to me, it's amazing to have the opportunity to have this group over here. Okay, I will recommend to the audience they can come in to see in the Lenzic the performance of these people.
And that's tonight at the Lenzic. For tickets, 988-1234 or lenzic.org, or you can just show up tonight at 7 o'clock. Emigdio Bayon is co-founder of Four Bridges Traveling Permaculture Institute. Once again, fourbridges.org. Tonight, Los Masis, and then this weekend, Friday and Saturday, the Traditional Agriculture and Sustainable Living Conference. Thank you so much for being with us on the Radio Cafe.
Oh, thank you much for giving me the opportunity to be answering these things with you.
It's a great pleasure.
Esa tarde entendí con tu mirada fuego de amor. Mi vida se quemó así, al ver la digna gallazo para mi dulzor. Quiero llevarte a mi pueblo a vivir, quiero morirme a tu lado, porque mi rancho, mi perro y mi buey ya quieren verme casado.